Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Metallic Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MMG and on the OTCQB under the symbol MMNGF. We are chatting with the new president, Scott Petzl. Scott was announced as a new president late March of just this year. So Scott, this is the first time having you on the show. And because it's your first time on the show, we like to get a little background on yourself. I understand you have had a pretty long career working alongside Greg Johnson, who is the CEO and chairman of Metallic Minerals, also really running the whole Metallic group of companies from a high level aspect. So give us a little background on yourself in the resource industry and just how long you have worked with Greg Johnson, please.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say it's great to meet you guys, and it's a pleasure to be here today and appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I think it's important to note that I've been with Metallic Minerals since 2016 as Vice President of Exploration. I've got really a wide range of experience from exploration to production in different deposit types around the world. And a lot of the last 20 years, as I said, has been in association with Greg Johnson. We worked for majors together, Placer Dome, and then started up with NovaGold and went through the whole NovaGold experience, which was really quite successful in our efforts to explore and advance the Donlin Creek deposit, as well as the Galore Creek deposit in northern BC. And then through some of the spinouts at Nova Copper, where we worked on the Arctic and Bornite deposits in the Brooks Range of northern Alaska together. And so in that association, I've learned a lot from Greg, and we work really well together. But, you know, this bulk of my career through that NovaGold experience and further back has involved having an important role in the advancement of these essentially underappreciated deposits and forgotten projects that we've advanced towards major metal resources and seen a great deal of growth in the company from that. And, you know, I think Greg and I were talking the other day, through that NovaGold experience generated about $4 billion worth of wealth in the ground. So, you know, there's a real success, line of success there that we look forward to continuing here. And that's really the reason why I think Metallic Minerals and the other Metallic group companies are so compelling is the scenario that we have seen at NovaGold is really being repeated here with Metallic and the Metallic group companies.
Yeah, Scott, I think that's an interesting point for listeners to consider is that this isn't your first rodeo, any of you guys. You've done the same kind of business model before. And what you've taken is, like you said, unloved or maybe forgotten assets that are district scale nearby other successful producing large scale mining operations and brought value back into these projects with the drill bit and with looking at them through a more critical eye as to how they could be economic deposits. So with Metallic Minerals, there's three main projects, the Keno Silver Project, La Plata, and the Klondike Gold District. What's your overall vision for the company? What's your overall vision for how you want investors to think of Metallic Minerals as you move forward?
Well, I think, you know, we're at a stage of growth in the company, and that the appointment of me as president is a reflection of that growth. This allows Greg Johnson as CEO to really dedicate more of his time towards the things that he's more experienced at and good at in terms of building strategy and advancing the chairman role for the group. But I think that, you know, with this position now, what we're seeing in this growth stage for Metallic Minerals is a slight shift from early stage acquisition and then essential early stage exploration and now building towards resource definition and the advanced deposit advancement that will come with that through economic studies over time. And that's what I hope to see us do, particularly with the announcement of our corporate maiden resource at the La Plata project, hopefully coming up in the next month or so.
Now, Scott, can you outline the work that has gone into this maiden resource coming out of the La Plata project? We haven't spent a whole lot of time covering and focusing on this project, but hey, maiden resource coming out. I know you guys have done a lot of work here. outline just all that has gone into this resource, please.
Yeah, I'm really excited about La Plata. I think it's a fascinating district, and it's a district scale play for us. One thing to note is, you know, I didn't mention earlier, but I'm a geologist by trade, and I went to school in Durango, Colorado, and this project is just 20 miles outside of town. So it's really where I learned about mountains. I grew up in the Midwest and learned about mountains in the La Plata Mountains and cut my teeth in the world of geology in the same rocks here. So for me, it's really exciting. The metallic story starts in 2019 with the acquisition from a pair of individuals who had previously worked for resource capital funds and identified the La Plata project as a alkalic porphyry system. And they reached out to us knowing that both Greg and I had experience at Galore Creek, which was an analog to La Plata, and seeing the success that we had with Nova Gold and realizing that, you know, we were the right people to take the La Plata project forward. But I should step back and say that in silver in the district, in the La Plata district, that part of Colorado, southwestern Colorado, was discovered by Spanish explorers in the 1700s. And the development of the project, we started to see high-grade gold and silver mined in the early 1900s in narrow vein epithermal type deposits that are usually associated with the big porphyry bodies. And so there was small scale mining going on, gold and silver. And then in the 50s, the majors came in because they had recognized this porphyry center of copper mineralization, what's now called the Allard Porphyry, and picked up pieces of ground and began to explore that, completed somewhere on the order of 56 holes and about 15,000 meters of drilling in the 50s and in the 70s. And then essentially the last hole that was drilled on the project was one hole in 1995. They had defined this copper mineralization, but they had a very limited property package and they couldn't really step outside of their borders very well. It was a bit fractured. And so the district really hasn't seen systematic exploration in over 50 years. And we have been able to come in, get the deal done with these guys from RCF, apply our systematic exploration in a way that hasn't been applied on the district in over 50 years, and come in, do the geophysics, the full suite of geophysics that is usually done in these types of systems, which includes airborne magnetic surveys, magnetotelluric surveys, IP resistivity. It's a full suite of geophysical surveys and mapping, surface geochemical sampling, as well as our first drilling on the project last summer, where we drilled confirmatory holes into the Allard Porphyry system and resampled some historic drilling that was not previously sampled, and also resampled the Allard Tunnel, which goes into the heart of the deposit. And we've been able to utilize all that information to come out with what will be, again, the maiden resource for the company on the La Plata project, soon to be announced in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Scott, that's an exciting time for the company on this project. And with the historic 56 holes that Rio Tinto and Freeport and others had drilled, and some of these confirmatory holes you put in last year with about 2,000 meters of drilling, it seems like most of the focus has been at that Allard target and even the Allard tunnel that you mentioned, which tells me that there's some access into the site to some degree. But porphyries usually occur in clusters. So do you hold out some hope that maybe there are some other porphyry centers on the project land that you could go after as new drill targets to keep expanding things?
Well, you know, this is part of the reason I feel like a kid in a candy store on this project, because we've been able to consolidate a lot of the district. We've applied all this systematic exploration. We've layered it. We've used some machine learning technology to give us the concept that there are 16 other potential porphyry centers on the project that have not seen any drilling and have not seen any exploration beyond superficial. And so when you look at this system and you realize that you're in southwestern Colorado and you've got basically a porphyry district in your control, and you've come out with your maiden resource, but you realize you've got so many other targets to look for, it really is kind of exciting in the sense of the potential to go out and do additional exploration in the district and find more porphyry centers, as well as have the optionality of looking at the epithermal, narrow vein, high-grade gold and silver vein systems.
All right, so Scott, news coming very shortly on the maiden resource at La Plata. Let's also touch on Keno Hill, though. What's your vision for Keno Hill? What's some of the news that we can expect coming out of this project up in Yukon, please?
Yeah, well, we're very close to having the final results from our 2021 field season released to the public here in the next week or so. Those will be detailing our results on the Keno East drilling. It was done in 2021. You know, I think it's important to remember that Keno is one of the most important silver-focused mining districts in the Yukon and Canada, with 200 million ounces of past silver production. And that Alexco, our neighbor, has recently restarted production. They have over 100 million ounces of silver in current resources and reserves. And then essentially, we have been exploring the underexplored eastern half of the district. The district itself is 35 kilometers across, so it's a big district. We've been able to take and identify numerous target areas. We've been able to apply geology and come up with new models, which I believe you talked about with Greg in one of your last interviews, and in the sense of identifying epithermal style mineralization on the project, which is new to the district and allows us to evaluate what would be broader zones of lower grade mineralization as potential bulk tonnage targets. But, you know, we're still identifying and working on our advanced targets at Caribou and Formo, which are typical narrow vein, high grade silver, lead, zinc deposits that are approaching the resource stage. So what we're really going to see going forward is a continuation of developing those advanced stage targets towards resources and continuing to look at our Keno East targets, which are potentially broad scale, bulk tonnage style mineralization, and continuing to build new targets towards the resource stage as well.
Well, Scott, we'll keep following along with the Keno Silver Project and all the different targets up there. There's so much, and that's really what most people think of when they think of metallic minerals, is the Keno Silver Project, because of your neighbors with Alexco having had so much success and now moving into production, and so much interest in that area historically, just so much has been mined there, and there's so much more to be found from what it sounds like. So I know that most people focus on Keno Silver. It was nice to get the update on La Plata, though, because you have the resource estimate coming out in the very near order, and there's so much room for expansion there. As you mentioned, 16 different potential porphyry center targets out there to go hunting with the drill bit. But there's one other project the company has, and it doesn't get as much airtime, but I think we should at least mention it for folks, and that's the Klondike Gold District. You have some alluvial gold projects near Dawson City in the Yukon, and you have the Australia Creek Royalty. What is there a little update you can give us just on this area, this third project the company holds?
Well, just be very brief. You know, it is a big property holding in Australia Creek, and we also have claims around Dominion Creek and the Klondike District. Last year, we had two main operators drilling and bulk testing. We expect production from at least one operator in 2022, with room to grow to add additional operators because of the size of this big project. But we're hoping that production in 2022 will bring us some revenue for the project to help offset some of our exploration costs on other projects.
All right. Well, Scott, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for introducing your background as well as your vision for metallic minerals. We are going to keep following along as more news hits the market. So please keep us up to date on future news. And if anybody has any follow-up questions for Scott regarding anything going on at Metallic Minerals, please email me or us, fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. And full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Metallic Minerals. Scott, thanks again for your time. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.